Adam and Eve walked daily with God, shining with His splendor. But one bite of forbidden fruit changed everything. They felt the shame of lost glory, desperately covering themselves with fig leaves. That was the spark of humanity's first act of empty religion. Today, Stephen explores the immediate fallout from Adam and Eve's disobedience. He'll reveal the futile human attempts to fix what only God can restore. God is still asking, "Where are you today?"
Today we're going to look at the consequences of Adam and Eve's sin against God. We'll simply call this the immediate results of a spoiled legacy. And by the way, those results have affected us to this very day, because we're just like this first couple. We're sinners in need of a redeemer. The first thing I want to point out is that Adam and Eve experienced the loss of their original splendor. Now, in our last study in Genesis chapter 3, we learned how Eve fell for Satan's schemes. She ate the forbidden fruit, and she then tempted her own husband to sin as well. And while eventually they will die physically as a result, as God promised, some other things change immediately. Here in verse 7, it tells us, "Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked." Now, what many people have done with this text is make Adam and Eve just sort of suddenly blush with embarrassment that they're not wearing any clothes, and I got to tell you, they've known that for some time. Do you know what happened when Moses met with God on the mountaintop? There in the presence of God's glory, Moses' face began to glow. Now, he didn't have a mirror up there on Mount Sinai, so he wasn't even aware of it. But when Moses came down that mountain, the people couldn't look at him because of that glow. It was blinding. In fact, Moses had to wear a veil over his face whenever he went out in public, according to Exodus chapter 34. Well, think about this. Adam and Eve were created in the presence of God's glory. They walked with God in the cool of the evening. Genesis 3 and verse 8 indicates a daily personal exposure to God's glory. Imagine their daily exposure to the glory of God. I mean, if the face of Moses shone, can you imagine the physical brilliance of Adam and Eve? Add to that the fact that the prophet Daniel says that one day the redeemed will shine like the brightness of the stars forever and ever, Daniel 12, verse 3. Is he exaggerating? Well, over in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 16, it says that God's people shall one day sparkle like the jewels of a crown in the coming kingdom of God. Jesus even promised, listen to this in Matthew 13, verse 43, that the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. My friend, there's no reason to ignore these promises or refuse to take them literally. The people of God will one day shine in their glorified bodies with the restored brilliance of God's original design. It's like God's going to turn the light back on, and the believer in heaven will shine with that light that was lost when Adam and Eve fell. Now, back here in the garden, as soon as Adam and Eve sin, God turns off the light. They lose that clothing of brilliant splendor, and they immediately know it. All of a sudden, they're standing there looking at each other in this rather unadorned nakedness. Well, they're ashamed. Since they can't turn that light back on, they try the next best thing. In fact, Adam and Eve performed the first religious act recorded in human history. Here in verse 7 in Genesis chapter 3, we read, "And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths." Well, let me make this second consequence to their sin. they experience the frustration of self-effort. Here they've lost their brilliant splendor. They're now keenly aware of their unadorned, naked bodies, and they effectively try to cover up their guilty consciences as well as their private parts. I mean, this is religion's motivation, by the way, all around the world. People are sewing fig leaves together, so to speak. They're trying to cover over their sin with good deeds, with penance, with church or mosque observances, with temple rituals and chants and songs and long prayers and sacraments and candles. Let me tell you something. Fig leaves will never work. They cannot remove guilt. Religion cannot silence that internal shame. And that's because the issue isn't so much how you sin, but who you've sinned against. And only He has the cure for shame. You're going to have to deal with your Creator. Well, let me point out thirdly, Adam and Eve experienced the futility of trying to hide from God. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8 reads here, "And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day." Now, that's when they normally would have joined Him. "And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden." Can you imagine here? Can you imagine trying to run from God? Well, think about it. People do it every day. You can run from God, but you really can't hide from God. There isn't a tree big enough. And verse 9 says here, "But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, 'Where are you?'" Well, God knew where they were. In fact, He knew what tree they were hiding behind. He knew Adam was now wearing a size 38 fig leaf suit. He even knew how they were feeling, and He knew why they were hiding. So why does God ask here, "Where are you?" Well, God wants them to come to Him in open admission and confession. You know, the Apostle John writes, "If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness," 1 John 1:9. God had already warned them in Genesis 2:17, "In the day you eat of it," this forbidden fruit, "you shall surely die." And although Adam and Eve remained physically alive, they died spiritually. The Apostle Paul tells us that spiritual death is now inherited by every human being since that original sin. This is part of our spoiled legacy. Paul writes it this way in Romans 5, verse 12. "Just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned." So friends, we can't just blame Adam. I mean, we all sin too. Maybe right now you're driving or sitting in a coffee shop or office or at home, and you're hearing that quiet voice asking this same question. Where are you? Where are you in relation to God? Now, maybe you want to run from that question and hide. Maybe you've been trying to silence your shame and guilt. You've gotten religious lately, or maybe you're doing some good deeds. No amount of good will ever be good enough. That's why that little voice you can't turn off tells you that you're guilty. The shame you feel is telling you something's not right. Keep listening. The words you are hearing are an invitation to stop hiding and start confessing your sin to God. Well, let me point out two principles from this scene here in the Garden of Eden. The first principle is this: God already knows the worst about you. In Hebrews 4:13, the Bible says, "No creature is hidden from His sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of God." That verse makes a direct connection between you and me, back to Adam and Eve. We are all naked and exposed. None of us can hide from God. The God who created space, time, and matter knows everything going on everywhere, all the time, in the sunlight and in the darkness. He knows every thought you've ever had. He knows every word you've ever spoken, every action you will ever take. He knows it all, in fact, already, which means God already knows the worst about your past, and he already knows the worst about your future. But here's the second promise we can draw from this garden scene. Here it is. Even though God knows the worst about you, he is able to forgive you. You know, when all seemed lost and without hope for Adam and Eve, Creator God came walking, seeking, asking, "Where are you?" Jesus said in Luke 19:10, "I came to seek and to save the lost." So the only question you've got to answer is, are you lost? Well, if you say, you know, I am lost. Well, let me tell you, you're just the person he's looking for. And he invites you to stop running, stop hiding, come out and confess your sin to him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. John 3:16. You see, that's part of God's promise to Adam and Eve. It's the promise of a coming Redeemer. It's a promise given all the way back here in the Garden of Eden. And we'll discover this promise in detail in our next Wisdom Journey. Until then, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That was Stephen Davey, and this is the Wisdom Journey. Today's message is called Losing the Legacy. Would you like to receive texts or emails from Stephen? He sends occasional updates and encouraging messages that can help strengthen your faith. And receive words of wisdom and inspiration right to your phone or inbox. To get started, just visit wisdomonline.org/email. That's where you can sign up for either text messages or email updates, depending on what works best for you. Once you're signed up, Stephen will be able to send you regular communication, keeping you updated on what's happening in the ministry and sharing helpful insights for your Christian walk. Just visit wisdomonline.org/email. Get signed up today. Come back next time to continue traveling through God's Word on the Wisdom Journey.